WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. For the mainstream media this week, as most weeks, there was chaos in Trump land.
Up front next, breaking news, a government shutdown, no end in sight, anti-Trump protests across the nation.
A day of Russia-related developments, all of which hint at a ramped-up investigation in at least the obstruction of justice part of things.
Late today, NBC News reporting Mueller has interviewed former FBI Director Comey, focusing on if Trump interfered in the Flynn investigation.
Washington Post is reporting that Special Counsel Mueller is seeking to question President Trump.
The Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, was interviewed apparently just last week for hours.
But for many on the far right, the Trump administration is on the brink, not of failure, but of total vindication.
A growing number of House Republicans now demanding the release of a top-secret memo.
It's that four-page memo that is at the center of these allegations that top Obama officials at the FBI and the Justice Department were conducting surveillance of top Trump officials.
This scandal is one of the biggest abuses of power in American history. It is time that you, the American people, get the truth. We are once again calling on you to contact Congress. Let them know you want the memo released.
The memo in question is a classified document put together by California Republican Devin Nunes, which, according to him and some of his fellow Republicans, demonstrates once and for all that the Obama administration abused its powers to spy on Donald Trump and his campaign. In fact, it demonstrates that the entire Mueller investigation is a corrupt sham. Or rather, it would demonstrate that if only we could see it.
The big thing about the memo is that it's classified. So only members of Congress and their staffs have seen it. And of course, because it's classified, they can't describe per se what's in the memo, but they can certainly make a lot of allusions about it, and that's what really lets minds run wild.
Will Sommer is an editor for The Hill and author of Right Richter, a newsletter devoted to right-wing media, where hashtag release the memo was just the most recent meme to take hold and spread like wildfire.
This is really something that has come from sort of out of nowhere to just take over the right-wing media. It's what everyone's talking about. On Thursday afternoon last week, a couple of Republican congressmen got up on the floor of the House and they said,
"Today I had the opportunity to go into a confidential setting, and I'm here to tell all of America tonight that I am shocked to read exactly what has taken place. I would think that it would never happen in a country that loves freedom and democracy like this country."
And we saw this just really explode within a few hours. People like Sean Hannity on Fox News, who's at the forefront of a lot of the new conspiracy theories.
"This, so you understand, is so much bigger than Watergate. It's about our Constitution, about the rule of law. It has been shredded."
And additionally, just tons of internet grassroots people, conspiracy-minded outlets like InfoWars with Alex Jones and Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, they've been tweeting, "Release the memo, someone send us the memo," really acting like it's going to be this sort of golden ticket that reveals everything. Lots of memes, lots of pictures of a smug Trump saying, "Time to release the memo." And of course, with any of these things, there's also some amount of bot activity by Russian bots.
Talk about that.
Sure, the origins of this are American, but researchers who follow this stuff have seen these accounts that they suspect of being Russian bots proliferating and really sort of signal boosting, as it were, the release the memo hashtag.
The colorful Alex Jones of InfoWars claimed to have the memo.
"Here it is, just sent to us. This is the classified memo. You want it, you got it. Tomorrow's news today. Got the whole thing. In fact, the rest of it's coming out of the printer, guys. We bring it to me, please. The one by my office in the hall."
Yeah, this was kind of a flop for Alex Jones. he was saying, "You know, I have the memo in front of me," and he had a big stack of papers.
"How many hundreds of pages is this? It's 100. It's 99 pages without the cover."
Now, we know for a fact that the memo is four pages. So his overhead camera is showing the pages from the supposed memo.
There's page one. That's a good shot right there. There's page two. This is all how they did it to Trump. All the spying, good God.
people started looking at this and they started Googling phrases in the memo. And as it turned out, this was a previously released, like a nearly year old document. And some of the other conspiracy theorists were kind of mad at him, but they were just like, you've discredited the memo. You know, we need the real memo. And in fact, Release the Memo briefly had a rival called Release the Real Memo.
It's out there somewhere. You compared the fervor behind the memo to another ongoing right-wing internet fixation, something our listeners probably wouldn't have heard of. It's a complex conspiracy theory called The Storm.
The Storm is kind of like a mega conspiracy theory, from Pizzagate to the murder of Seth Rich. It's all kind of blended into The Storm, and the origins of this are pretty wild. Someone started posting anonymously on the really kind of scuzzy forum 4chan. A lot of Trump supporters on there, and this person was calling themselves Q, which is supposedly a reference to the top secret Q security clearance, who could really be anyone. Then people are saying, well, you know what? I think this is a member of the Trump administration who's sending us clues.
The storm has begun. Now it says the Eye of Providence, and it crossed out the Rothschilds and the House of Saud, and it circles Soros, 444. It says that this is the key. You'll need it in the coming weeks.
There are a lot of like vague things about Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Huma Abedin and this baseless allegation about a pedophile ring in D.C. around a pizza parlor.
Right.
So these clues, which have come to be called breadcrumbs, these are all kind of blended together into this idea that, you know, maybe Obama's already been arrested and sent to Guantanamo Bay.
During the pre-dawn hours on Christmas Day, Delta Force operators launched a precision strike against an Obama-controlled stronghold in Thailand.
And another thing that leads right back into Q, the Secret Service has the ability to arrest anybody they suspect of committing a felony without an arrest warrant.
Michelle Obama hasn't said anything since the 11th. John Podesta hasn't said anything since the 27th. All of this together really does lend some credence to the idea that maybe Trump just mass arrested these people. We're basically in martial law right now. In a good way.
And the way it ties into the Russia investigation is this idea that, in fact, Trump and Mueller are working hand in hand to investigate the Clintons. And this is all kind of a ruse. I mean, already we've seen Sean Hannity retweet a tweet that mentioned QAnon. And if the Russia investigation gets worse for the administration, I think we'll find more people looking for counter-narratives like QAnon or like Release the Memo.
But what happens if these narratives are exposed definitively as bunk? What if the memo's released and there's really nothing there, as the Democrats contend?
Right. Certainly, it seems like even Republicans who have seen the memo don't have a ton of confidence in it. Someone asked Republicans who had seen the memo today whether they were in favor of releasing it or whether they had confidence in its conclusions. And a lot of them said, you know, no comment. You know, you know, once it comes out, though, I mean, I think for Trump supporters and people in the right-wing media, historically, we've seen it kind of doesn't matter, and they just move on to the next thing. You kind of just keep the machine going forward as far as the narrative goes.
Why?
I mean, certainly from a business perspective, the audience that consumes this stuff, whether it's on Fox News, talk radio, or online, it's better to tell the audience that they're winning and that things are going Trump's way. So, for example, after the Roy Moore allegations came out, there was like a real hunger for someone who was going to not just sort of deflect it like Breitbart did, but really go on the offensive against the accusers. And so we saw like Gateway Pundit was willing to step up. And so they got a lot of attention for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a business advantage in not alienating the audience by acknowledging bad news. That's why there's not a ton of introspection when these things flop.
So these memes and conspiracy theories, they're like an endless smorgasbord of good news that Trump's base can feed on whenever it likes.
Absolutely. I mean, it's certainly much more entertaining, you know, in the case of the memo to imagine that there's about to be all these revelations than following, say, the shutdown fight or various legislative quagmires the administration might find itself in.
Even beyond the fact that it creates a distraction that's forever churning, it does matter because in the midst of the Pizzagate scandal, we saw one true believer take a gun and nearly carry out a shooting. There was a guy who was just busted for threatening to attack CNN for being fake news.
the idea that, you know, these elites are trying to obstruct the will of the people or overturn the election, or that there's a coup in the offing, as you can hear on Fox News now, that kind of pushes people, especially people who are maybe atomized and outside of a normal society, that can push someone to take extreme measures.
Have they talked about coups lately on Fox?
I mean, the big thing now on Fox is calling for the U.S. Marshals to arrest Mueller and Comey.
Conspiracy theories have always been with us. But a unique feature of this moment, obviously, is the abundance of amplifiers, which grow and mutate. You've got meme-heavy internet subcultures that live on sites like 4chan and Reddit. And you watch those religiously for your newsletter. Are these ideas particularly prone to memification? Or is it just that there's a greater opportunity to create memes?
There's an increased capability, but I think also we're in a political moment that is very prone to memes and slogans and ideas that can be transmitted quickly. You know, I mean, ultimately, Trump is kind of the meme president. He's saying stuff like Crooked Hillary or Lion Ted. And
Brian Schumer. You know,
yes, exactly. And those are all picked up by his followers, obviously, during the campaign. They said he practiced memetic warfare, especially in the right-wing media. I think they have a much stronger meme creation infrastructure.
That's what I was going to ask you. I mean, you focus on right-wing media, but what about the left? Aren't they doing this?
I think people on the right would say that the media infrastructure for the left is the New York Times and CNN and NPR and so on and so forth. But I really don't think that's an apt comparison, because there's no Sean Hannity on MSNBC in terms of just sticking on message and repeating whatever is advantageous for the left's politics at the moment.
Not even Rachel Maddow.
I don't think so. Certainly that'll come down to opinion. We haven't seen, for example, Rachel Maddow promote the left's equivalent of a Seth Rich conspiracy theory in the way that Sean Hannity did.
Mm-hmm. Do you see another meme on the horizon?
Well, you know, like the one that always gets a lot of play and I think is on the rise is the idea that Trump is a god emperor.
A god emperor.
So they're taking this from like video games where people are called god emperors. They do these drawings of Trump as a space warrior. I think as things get worse and worse for Trump, potentially in the Russia investigation, they're going to be leaning on that one pretty hard.
Any conspiracies?
Obviously, the related thing to release the memo are these FBI text messages, right? Which, are legitimate.
This was one FBI guy on the Russia investigation talking to his girlfriend and saying disparaging things about Trump, basically rooting for Hillary. This was before the election.
Yeah, exactly. And the idea that the FBI and the so-called deep state colluded against Trump, that's like the real big thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many things that you can take from that. I mean, there's secret societies is the latest one. In these text messages, the FBI agent says to his mistress, "This is the first meeting of the secret society tonight," or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the senator who saw these texts has really seized on this as proof that there was an FBI secret society devoted to defeating Trump. So secret societies is really kind of like the new release the memo.
Can't they just ask this guy what he meant?
Oh, I think he has a lawyer.
So God emperors and secret societies.
Yes.
Details at 11. Will, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Will Sommer is the author of Right Richter, a newsletter that covers right-wing internet subculture.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.